Bibles, I urge you to open up to Luke chapter 2. Kind of give you a little bit of a recap of what we've been talking through the last 2 weeks together as a church body. Most of us know the story of Christmas, right? But there are some things underneath the scriptures that are really powerful that I believe can revolutionize how we see this Christmas season. And as we've talked about, you know, the setting in which Jesus is born is not in a palace. It's not in a mansion. And Jesus himself is the King of glory, God himself. But he chooses to be born of lowly means. You think about the whole Christmas story, and Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem primarily to be registered. Joseph did, to be in the census. But it wasn't primarily to have Jesus in Bethlehem. It wasn't a most accommodating thing for Mary to bear Jesus in Bethlehem. But it was there that Jesus, the child, was born. And if we look at the Christmas season, I think it says two things to us. And as you think about this particular time, it says two things. The first thing it says is the means in which Jesus is born, because it was so in a lowly means, I believe it reveals the heart which Jesus desires. Right? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he comes for your heart and my heart that is contrite and broken. And is the humanity of Christ and his birth reveals that very thing. And so for some of you in this room, you come with a very heavy heart. You come with a heart as you think about Christmas, and it's laden with grief. And the Holy Spirit would speak to you in this moment right now that not only is this a 2,000-year-old story, but he's come for you right in the position you're in. Amen. Hallelujah. The second part of this Christmas message is what we talked about last week. And it's about what we call the divinity of Christ, the lordship of Jesus. That what is special about Christmas? Is it just that a child was born? That's not what's special about Christmas. Not just the humanity that Jesus was born as we are, but this, the particular nature of Christmas, why it's so divine, is because God himself is born. That's what makes this so special. Later on, as we do a candlelight time, we're going to sing Silent Night. But if you read the text about the shepherds, it was nothing silent about this evening.
Amen.
Right? There was a myriad of angels declaring glory to God in the highest. And the purpose of Christmas is worship. This is the purpose of your life, my life, this season of time. But it first has to understand that Christmas is more than just remembering a man, but remembering the man Christ Jesus, God himself, that came on a rescue mission. And because he's God, he has the power to rescue you in your sin, to rescue you in your darkness. And so this brings us to mind what we're going to talk about this evening. And much like we spoke about this last Sunday, kind of links into it a little bit. It's the response to Christmas. And we're going to look at this man called Simeon. And I pray, as you hear this text this evening, that you would see yourself as Simeon in the text. Right? We're not there. We're not in the temple where Jesus is presented. But the spirit with which Simeon carried, I pray you would carry this Christmas season in your heart. So I want us to read together. We're going to read about 10 verses together. We're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 32, and it'll be here on the screen. And if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to read with me, but I also want to invite you to stand, if you're able to, for the reading of God's Word. And you can read with me as well, too. We can read it all together. Hallelujah. We are the church.
Amen.
So, starting in verse 21, it says, "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. And you can be seated.
Amen.
This evening. Hallelujah. I believe a lot of, I'm sure many of us have gone to service on a Christmas Eve. You've read the Christmas story. And I think the message of Simeon is not preached or talked about enough. It's not. And what we see here, we're going to talk through just these first three verses just to begin. And what's happening here is Jesus is just born, and then after 8 days, as it was customary in the law, for a male child to be circumcised, so was Jesus. Right? But then there came a period of time after pregnancy in the Old Testament, a woman would be regarded as unclean. So she had to go through a period of what's called purification. Right? This is Old Testament law. But just track with me for a moment, because there's something really powerful here in the text. And so here, Mary and Joseph, they go to the temple to do two things. And the first thing they do is they present their firstborn son, Jesus, in the temple. Right? This is something that was not only custom, but this was a sign to say, Lord, we are consecrating our son to you, the Lord. Right? We're setting our child apart. And although Jesus is God, remember, in if you think about the life of Jesus Christ, he does everything to fulfill prophecy. He does everything to fulfill righteousness. He does everything to fulfill the law. He's born in this world. He's born through a Jewish lineage. And so here, Jesus is presented in the temple by Mary and Joseph. But also, Mary had to go through purification. She had to be, even though she was born of a virgin, she followed the custom of the law. But what this says to us, and I want us to focus here in verse 24, that what Mary and Joseph present is a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons, or doves. And this is what Mary and Joseph present. And again, this speaks to Mary and Joseph's poverty. They didn't have much. Because it was custom that what sacrifice should be brought for purification was a lamb and a dove, or a turtle dove, right? Or a pigeon, excuse me. But Mary and Joseph don't have the means to carry for a lamb. Instead of bringing a lamb, it was custom that if you couldn't afford a lamb, you could bring two doves or two pigeons. And why do I say this? Why is this so powerful? Because you have to envision for a moment Mary's carrying the child Jesus. And she has no lamb to bring. She has two doves to bring. There she carries Jesus. And what I believe this says to us in these first three verses is what Mary carries is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who is without sin. Saying to us, there is no need for Mary to bring a lamb, because what Mary is carrying is the Lamb who would take away the sins of the world. That's powerful, right? I mean, if you even just study the text, it's powerful because Jesus, who is fully God, has the capacity, is able to take away the sin, because he is the Lamb. And I want to share with you John chapter 1, verse 29. This is about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a forerunner and a pioneer before the coming of Christ. And John the Baptist, one day, he perceives Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to hear what he says, this confession he makes. Hear these words. In John 1:29, it says, the next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so John the Baptist recognizes Jesus as the Christ by the Holy Spirit. He declares him as the spotless Lamb. Listen, everyone here this evening, to reiterate, the beauty of Christmas is that Jesus is the perfect Lamb who has took all your sin at the cross. He came for you. And because he is God, he is without blemish. His sacrifice was once for all. And the moment you trust in him, the moment you bank your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you surrender all to him, he washes you clean. He declares you with his righteousness because he sees you with his blood. And that's good news for the person in this room that just feels bombarded by a sense of a condemnation, a condemning spirit. And when you look in the mirror, you look at yourself, all you see is you're tainted with sin. And I'm here to tell you, the Lamb of God is taking the sin of the world on his shoulders. And there he holds Christ. No need for a lamb to be brought. Is there? Jesus remained cradled in her arms. And just as John the Baptist recognized by the Holy Spirit to call Jesus the Lamb, there's another man named Simeon who recognizes Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And in verses 25 through 32, we find a few things out about this man, Simeon. We find out that this man, Simeon, in verse 25, that he was a righteous man and devout. This man, Simeon, he was set apart. He was devoted to the law of the Lord. He was in the temple. And something else about Simeon is that Simeon waited, what it says here, for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the Messiah to come to comfort grieving Zion, is the prophetic passage. So Simeon's waiting. And something else that's really interesting is Simeon was in the Spirit, meaning that Simeon went every single day to pray in the temple. Simeon waited upon the Lord. And the same Spirit that possessed him to pray in the temple revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die until he saw the first advent of the Messiah, the Christ. And so there, as Simeon did every single day, he waited in the temple, he prayed. But what's interesting about this day? What's interesting about this day? Why is this day so distinct? Certainly, many children were presented in the temple every single day. Day after day, Simeon's waiting, and he sees child after child presented in a place of consecration. What is it that causes Simeon to recognize that Jesus, this baby, is the Christ? What causes Simeon to recognize that out of the litany of children that he has seen over the period of months and years? Let me say this to you. He recognizes Jesus is the Lord because of the Holy Spirit. And I ask this for Christian and non-Christian alike in this room. Do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit this evening? That he speaks to you right now and says, do you recognize Jesus as the Lord of your life? Do you recognize him as Lord? Because the Spirit of Christ is bearing witness to you this evening. Do you see him as Lord? Because Simeon did. Simeon saw more than just a message of humanity. Simeon saw more than just a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. Simeon saw the Lord. He recognized the Lord. Do you recognize the Lord of Christmas? And because Simeon recognized Jesus as Lord, it led him to do two things. The first thing it leads Simeon to do is in verse 28. It says, Simeon, he took him, meaning Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God. This is the first thing Simeon does. Hallelujah. He lifts up the child, Jesus, in both his arms. And it's not, when it says he takes up Jesus, it isn't from the position of cradle, it's in the position of lifting up. Why is this so important? Why should this represent us? Because we, as Simeon did, need to see the Christ and lift him up as Lord. We need to see Jesus in all his worth and behold him and be led to worship him. To lift up Jesus. This is Simeon. And Simeon, he goes on to say, and he prays, Lord, now your servant can depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Hallelujah. Simeon's content. He's holding up the child Jesus. That was his content. No longer did he need to wait any longer in the temple. I have seen your salvation. No longer did he need to wait for anything else. I have seen your salvation, Lord. And if you find yourself this evening in a place where you understand Jesus as Lord, I feel in my spirit to share again with you. Behold him as Lord. Lift him up. Because as we do, he becomes our soul's content. Your heart ravaged by discontent this Christmas season. Behold the Son of God who stands before you, although not in incarnate, right? He doesn't stand here as a man any longer. Jesus is risen from the dead, but he stands before you by the Holy Spirit this evening. He beckons for you. So I believe that the response of Simeon is the response you and I need to have. Amen? The text by the Holy Spirit is drawn out for you to hear. Because I know the simplicity of this message is maybe things that you've heard. But even for Christians in this room and non-Christians, there's a place God is bringing you to deeper in worship. For the non-Christian in this room, let me speak to you for a moment. Maybe you came here, your husband or your wife kind of nudged you and said, you got to go, honey. Right? But I'll tell you this, I believe that the Holy Spirit brought you here. And I believe that there's a tug in your spirit that you know I need to give my life to this Christ, the Lord Jesus. Listen, please listen. If you miss anything, if you're not a Christian, please don't miss this. Jesus is an actual person. He is Lord. And he deserves worship in your life. He wants to be Lord of your life. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve God's wrath, hell. It's what we deserve. It's what we should be consigned to. But God becomes flesh. And he dies. He rises from the dead. And so why this story is not just 2,000 years old. It's because of the resurrection. And he wants to raise you from the spiritual mire and the grave that you're in. He wants to be Lord of your life. And so this evening I pray and I plead with you to give your life to Jesus. Give your life entirely to him. Surrender your life to Christ. May this be the first Christmas that you've ever had in your life. And for the Christian in this room, would you reorient your heart to behold him? And he stands before you today. And like Simeon, to all of us in this room, would you say, Lord, I lift you up. I recognize you are Lord. And the only response I have is to lift you up. Hallelujah. It's for you, for a believer in this room, to reorient your place, to see yourself as a worshiper. Tonight is the night. Today is the day of salvation. And I want to just take a moment here, and I want to open this up. We're not going to have a response time like we normally do. But I want to ask each of us in this room, and for no other reason, but just to focus on Jesus, I just want to ask you to close your eyes. I'm closing my eyes with you. I want to urge you, each of you, close your eyes right now, and don't focus on what's going on after this. Don't focus on the people around you. Right now, it's you and Jesus. Right now, he's asking you, do you see me as Lord? He's asking you that right now. Do you see me as Lord? I want you to envision the Lord standing before you and, like Simeon, lifting him up. I want you to see the Lord who is able to forgive your sin, all of your sin. And for all of us, as a sign of that, I want us to, as like Simeon, as he lifted up Jesus, I urge you, you can lift both hands or just lift your hand to the Lord. And I almost in its symbol of saying, Lord, I lift you up. And for those of you in this room that don't know Jesus, it's not a magical prayer that saves you, but I want to lead you through a prayer of accepting Christ as the Lord of your life, turning from your sin. And so all of us can pray this prayer, even if you're a Christian, to reorient your heart and worship. But if you're not, and you need to come to Christ, or you need to rededicate your life to Christ, I want you to pray this prayer to the Lord, to Jesus. He's listening to you right now. And I want us to pray, Lord Jesus, I need you. I realize that I am a sinner. And I have nothing without you. Thank you for coming for me. Thank you for dying for my sin. And rising from the dead. And Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I belong to Jesus. Say it again. I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, I pray for anyone in this room. God, as they pray, maybe this first time, or you want a relationship with them. And I pray this evening, God, that you would transform their life. Let your word bear fruit in their life, Lord. I thank you, God, that Lord, those who sincerely cried out to you, not only here tonight, but always, you hear their petition. And those who cried out to you for the first time this evening, Lord, you reside as Lord in their hearts. And I pray, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would transform, you would heal. You have power. You're not a dead God. You're not in a grave. You're alive.
Amen.
And so, Lord, whoever in this room needs your, we all need you, Lord. Whoever in this room, Father, is in that position where they've made a decision for the first time, God, let them never be the same. Father, I pray for those that are shackled by sin. I pray for freedom in their lives. I pray for freedom in marriages, God. I pray that this would be the just transformative work. And I just thank you, Lord, so much for everyone here. Holy Spirit, come and minister to every person's heart right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Sincerely, if that is the first time that you've ever made a decision to follow Jesus, amen. Come on. I rejoice with you. And I'll tell you, we have our brothers and sisters.